You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
with your life.
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit you are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. It's hump day. Got to get over the hump. So hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, you will get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, he's everything. Appreciate you, brother. Brother Kwaku, right on. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times, they're going to give our Eastern times. So, Monday and Wednesday today, this evening at 7 p.m., from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans from 7 to 9 this evening, Mondays and Wednesdays. On Thursday, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. From 8 to 10 on Thursdays, the Black Liberation Movement with Patrick Lumumba. Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday at 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., from 5 to 6 p.m., Pinckney to Pinckney, the activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. Pinckney to Pinckney from 5 to 6 on Sunday. 7 o'clock on Sunday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Haven't done announcements in a while. I would probably do them Friday maybe. Yeah, because, you know, in fact, like I said, I'm going to go over them and have another course of announcements. And not do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but just maybe once a week, you know. I've been doing them as a public service announcement. I don't get paid for anything. But I'm just, there are things that I've been announcing for many years that I believe we should support, we should look into, we should inquire about, you know, and hopefully, you know, feel the need to support it. Some of the things that I've been saying, announcing, some of them, they're no more. They're not happening, you know. Us Lifting Us, that was on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is no more. But Us Lifting Us is always going to be around because of the importance of it. For us to us lift ourselves, you know. That's for sure. So, I'm going to get off and read in Inyasa Sim, of course, but today
We're going to talk about Neely Fuller. Neely Fuller passed. And he was the Jugna to Francis Cress Wellesley. He was the Jugna. And they worked together in the code, the compensatory code of in dealing with white supremacy. Now, you know, we're going to say that word a few times. You know, I'm in accordance with Brother Paul. I don't use white supremacy. They're not white. It's just, every time I say that, it reminds me of the court scene in with Denzel Washington, Cry Freedom, I think it is, that Stephen Biko, when he played Stephen Biko, you know, and he was on trial. And the judge says, "Why do you call yourself black? You're more brown than black." Then Stephen Biko turned to him and says, "Why you call yourself white? You're more pink than white." White supremacy. Yes. Of course, you know, we call it European Caucasian racism. No, excuse me, I apologize. European Caucasian extremism. Extremism, racism, and privilege. They are very extreme. Look what they have done. And we still maintain racism because they created the idea and the concept of race. And there is no such thing. You know, but Neely Fuller lays it out. And, of course, privilege, because they believe that they are privileged in the world. Look what they have done. Look what they have taken. They think everything is about them. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 4th. We keep trying to persuade Europeans, Caucasians, Urugu. We keep trying to persuade Urugu people to recognize and acknowledge our worth as a people. We keep trying to impress the wrong person. What we need to impress is ourselves, family. To hell with them. Impress ourselves with the love of ourselves, the love of each other, the willingness to work together, build together, have trust. I added all of that. But impress ourselves, Dr. Nathan and Dr. Julia Hare. Warriors best compete against themselves. The challenges and stakes are always higher than they would be if anyone else were the competition. We find this leaves us in the best position, being better prepared to reason with fellow thinkers while dismissing stupidity, willful ignorance, and insanity for what it is. The downside is that we sometimes push ourselves beyond human limits in the process. Affirm, I am reasonable when competing with myself. Affirm, I am reasonable when competing with myself. February. Let me turn this down. There you go. February 5th. Reasoning is the shackle of the coward. Tunshaka proverb. Talk seems to be directly related to just how much trouble we are in, whether or not we believe our enemies should share in our most private, serious discussions, and how long we should hold those discussions. If nothing else, warriors should first establish just how long discussions should go on before beginning the discussion. Some will try to confess the African tradition of making sure all have their say, and that debate will go on until we're all satisfied with the discussion to continue rambling on about something to which, obviously, no solution is sought, or it would have already been found and acted upon. But again, this is not traditional African society, and we do not have time for meaningless intellectualizing. With those who waste time, those precious times, reasoning are doing is akin to the victim of a fatal shotgun, lying on the ground, bleeding to death, debating with onlookers over which caliber of bullet is lodged in his chest. We know what is wrong. We know what is needed is a correction. Talk lessens the compulsion to do something about what is wrong because it makes you feel that you are already doing something constructive about it. Revolution is not a conversation. I repeat, revolution is not a conversation. Sadly, this statement will probably generate more debate than action. And if it does, then it just goes to show how uncontrollably we are driven to meaningless, unproductive debate and how unconsciously counter-revolutionary the debaters are. I say, affirm, I do not engage in meaningless, unproductive debate. Affirm, I do not engage in meaningless, unproductive debate. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Yeah, my lady sent me one of Sister Henri's poems again. And of course, they're always on point. Sister Henri. Yeah. Yeah, just like, you know, but it's a lot sooner what's happening with this election. There's a lot of discussion coming out about the fact that 3-point-something million votes were not counted that would have gone to Kamala Harris and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. But let me tell you what I've been, I think I've already said what I've been saving up for is all the stuff on the 9/11 that's been finally coming out and people are saying what I've been talking about for years that others have been saying it too. I mean, but it just wasn't just mass. And believe me, whether it will lead to another discussion, a more serious discussion, I don't know. It should. You can't blow up 2 buildings. No more than that. You blew up a lot of buildings. Because building 7 was a show enough demolition. You just cannot, brother. You know, I often labeled the 9/11 situation with the adjective, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Yeah. And that's a fact. They did what they did and lied their ass off. And then they had all the organizations involved to lie for them. Yeah, I remember when I was working at a group home and I watched a piece on how they said this actually happened, you know, and how it could happen the way it did. A lie. A bold-faced-ass lie. You know, I was a firefighter. And in the firefighter training, you know, one of the things you train you for, particularly if you live in a major city. Milwaukee's not a major city. I don't know. But they have high-rise buildings. They have skyscrapers, okay? Milwaukee does too. Not just Atlanta or Chicago or New York and whatever. But all those other cities of Nashville and Memphis, they all have, you know, New Orleans. But the point being is that buildings have been hit by planes. And there have been buildings on fire for a long time. They never imploded. They never came down. They sure as hell never came down like Building 7 in New York. That supposedly some of the debris just jumped on the damn building and caused it to have fires. And that building went down like just an idea demolition coming down in the middle and folding in on its own footprints. I'm saying to you, this is shit, it's madness. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? So I'm going to read the poem, and then we're going to talk about Neely Fuller. Yeah, talk about Neely Fuller. Leslie Henri, her poems. Today In Black history, we honor the children. We honor the innocent souls, strange fruit, children like ornaments, swinging in trees. We honor the bullet-ridden, the water-bloated, the missing. We honor the children. Stolen and enslaved, we honor the eyes that
this
close.
Call may be recorded or transcribed.
We honor the eyes that closed soon after blue lights flashed. We honor the lynched, current, and past. We honor the bombed, the shot, the suffocated, and forgot. We honor the hashtags, the news cycles, body slain, then character murder, so blue uniforms can walk free. Today we honor the children, the girls tossed and beaten, while still seated in school desk. We honor Laquan, Trayvon, Tamir, and Rakiko. Mike Brown, today we honor them, the names we know, the litany we don't, the souls we feel, the black bodies killed. Emmett, then Emmett still. The girls who will never be women, the boys who will never be men, their only sin, melanin. Today, we honor the children. Ashe. Once again, poetry by Leslie Henri. Poetry by Leslie Henri. Thanks, sweetheart. Okay. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know, I have a piece on definitions of racism. Functional definitions of racism. Of course, I've had this for a long time. I had this when I was working with the kids in schools way back in Milwaukee. And of course, I've done it over the air at least maybe once a year, maybe every other, whatever. I think I did it. I know I did it last year, 2024. You know, but one of the pieces, like I said, the first we give the was Webster's Unabridged Dictionary, then Dr. Bobby Wright, Andy Thompson, Dr. Anderson Thompson, Dr. Malana Karinga, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, and Dr. Amos Wilson. All of these are they give functional definitions of racism. Well, and once again, of course, race is not a real concept. It is a concept constructed by Europeans, giving themselves a top position, everybody else a lower position, with us at the lowest position. Yeah. Racism, white supremacy, is a local and global power system and dynamic structured and maintained by persons who classify themselves as white, whether consciously or subconsciously determined, which consists of patterns and perception, logic, symbol, formation, thought, speech, action, and emotional response as conducted simultaneously in all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, for the ultimate purpose of white genetic survival and to prevent white genetic annihilation on planet Earth. A planet upon which the vast majority of people are classified as non-white, black, brown, red, and yellow, by white-skinned people. And all of the non-white people are genetically dominant in terms of skin coloration compared to the genetic recessive white-skinned people. Ashe. That's a fact. Our genes are dominant. There's our recessive. Dominant, you get dominant. Dominant, recessive, you get dominant. So that was a. So I was listening to Dr. Francis Cress Welsing when her and Marimba, when I had lunch with them, but the presentation she made, not at the time that we had lunch, but the presentation that she made here in Atlanta. And it was a workshop. It was a nice Saturday afternoon, good people. her presentation. Of course, Mama Marimba's. There were a few others that were really good. Of course, Professor Griff, you know. But actually, Zaza Ali, she's the one that did it, that presentation. Memory serves. Look at the day for sisters. But anyway, Frances was telling a story. Dr. Welsing was telling a story about how it clicked in her mind what was happening, you know, and why these Caucasians were doing this, you know. And like I said, her Jegna was Neely Fuller. They worked together. And she said, as I was looking at it, you know, it came to her that these folks, they could be wiped out. When the Caucasian developed, see, you got to understand human development. Many people don't believe in human development. They believe that God, a certain group of people developed this way over here, another group of people developed this way over here, and so forth and so on, you know. And, of course, the ones that were developed in that icebox in Europe were superior to all the other ones who were developed any other place on the planet. And, of course, the mindset of those people who were in Europe, they took it upon themselves to go and take other people's stuff. And, of course, they did it prior to falling into a dark age, a medieval age. They did it. They did it with Greece. They sure did it with Rome. So, but when they collapsed, they came back into Europe and everybody else was starting to do their things wherever they were. And, of course, the only light in Europe was starting in 711. Thank heaven for 711, when the Moors, Africans who embraced Islam, moved into western part of Asia. Once again, family, Europe is not a continent. There's six continents, not seven. Please spread that. And so when Europe, when they moved into Europe, into Spain and Portugal and the Iberian Peninsula, they were the only light, the only information that was happening during this dark age. And they taught the Europeans so much, just like they taught them when they sat at the feet of African people for many years, particularly in Kemet, to learn the disciplines of knowledge of science and math and architecture and music and writing and law and everything. And then they came back as conquerors. They ended the dynastic period. Dynasty 30 was the last dynasty of African rule. After that, it was the Ptolemies. It was the Greeks. That's like they had a question. Who was the last Greek? Excuse me. Who was the last Egyptian pharaoh? You know. And they had Cleopatra. No, she wasn't. Well, anyway, that's the answer that the white folks wanted. You know, because they had Tutankhamun. They had Akhenaten. They had Ramesses. No. And the other answer was, potential answer was Cleopatra. So to me, not to get it wrong, I begrudgingly answered Cleopatra. But we taught them. We continued. We were humane people. We didn't recognize that these were barbarians. This was envious and jealous and evil spirited. And they came back and they conquered us. And then, of course, after Greeks, the Romans, and then the Arabs. And yeah. And so we had all this great knowledge and so forth that we've always shared with people. That is who we are, you know. And so after we moved into the western part of Asia, not the continent of of Europe. There is no continent of Europe. And So then they awakened, the Europeans, because we were teaching them, we're showing them, getting those animals out their castle and put them in a corral, cleaning up, baths and so forth. It was their awakening. We helped facilitate their renaissance, their awakening. Martel and Charlemagne and many others. And they said, you know what? We may war amongst ourselves, but we're going to come together on those who are outside of us. They kicked the Moors and the Sephardic Jews out of Spain in 1492. Yeah, 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Yeah. And they began to go around the world, taking everybody's stuff in the name of. Marco Polo goes to China, comes back with pasta. But people believe that pasta is Italian. No, pasta is Chinese. People believe that rice is Chinese, but no, rice is African. Yeah. But what they came back when they went to China was fireworks, which Chinese use for celebrations, gunpowder and so forth. And what did the European do? Because he's always found, and you get, this is my direct quote, the European has always found a better way to kill your ass. That's for sure. And so they've shaped weaponry into it. Yeah. They fashioned weaponry. And that helped facilitate their rise. They got map-making capabilities from the Moors, ship-making. And so they began to go around the world and take everybody's stuff in the name of Spain, Portugal, France, England, Belgium. Especially when they colonized Africa. After taking Africans from Africa and into the captured Western Hemisphere and exercising in a few places genocide in its definition. Not the European Jews genocide. That's, and I'm not just jumping on their ass, you know, damn that. But it's not. And whether 6 million die or 1 million or just one, it is murder. It is a crime. I get that. But so is all the other real acts of genocide, real crimes against humanity. And to me, when you come out of a situation, but yet you still have your knowledge of who you are, you still have your language, you still have perspective, you still have, it's the real deal. When you are stripped of all of who you are. Some people argue you shouldn't try to compare. Hell, there is no comparison. Nothing has happened to a people on this planet that has happened to us. And it is still happening to us, the Ma'afa. Infocani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, a real one. To the Taino people in what is now Haiti and Dominican Republic, they were killed, all of them. Just like the son of a bitches did the same thing in what is now Australia and the New Zealand. Killed all of the people. You know, I say this all the time, family, and I'm glad for those who always listen, those who always call in, you know, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from the time wherever you are. I really do. I mean that with sincerity. Because sometimes what we do on this program is we talk about and acknowledge the fact of what has happened. And it's not, ain't nothing nice. Ain't nothing nice at all. And that's what Neely Fuller and Francis Crest did with the compensatory code. And enlightening the people to what racism is, white supremacy. Yeah. And, of course, my brother Paul, you know, acknowledged Neely Fuller. I tell you, Brother Paul's a good brother, man. Yeah. The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. Neely Fuller. Rest in peace, dear brother. He was born October 6, 1929. And he died yesterday at 96 years old. Right on, Neely Fuller. Right on, Baba. He was a Jegna. To Dr. Francis Crest, they put that whole thing together. The United Independent Compensatory Code System and Concept. A compensatory counter white supremacist codified word guide. Mr. Fuller literally wrote the book on racism. He's the reason racism doesn't confuse or anger many of us. He wrote the game plan on how to counteract racism, white supremacy, in a constructive manner. He taught us how racism affects us in the 9 areas of people activity. I read those in that definitive definition of racism for Francis Crest Wellesley. It affects us in economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. In counter war. And to do what? Mr. Fuller, Brother Neely Fuller, was a Jegna. I know it says mentor, but you know we don't use the word mentor because we know what that word is from and what it means. So we use the word Jegna. And if there's a group, there's Jegnak, a Jegna. And I'm used to Dr. Francis Crest Wellesley. He taught us, if you don't understand, I love this quote, if you don't understand white supremacy, racism, what it is, and how it functions, everything else you think you understand will only confuse you. And I maintain that we're so confused that we're confused in our confusion. And that's how confused we are. And he was right. Neely Fuller Jr. is a titan on the level of Booker T., King, Ida B. Wells, Dick Gregory, Medgar Evers, and all the great freedom fighters in American history. Rest well, dear brother. Ashe. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Brother Paul, I appreciate it. The cartoon he sent me, which is, of course, is a Neely Fuller. If you go to YouTube and you put in Neely Fuller, you'll get a bunch of animated pieces. And I'm going to play some for you. The voice is his. You know, the animations. The animations are what they are. So. Play a few of these, and of course you can talk on it and discuss on it and give your African perspective on it by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I'm going to play one right quick. Yeah. This is one a little longer. It's about 8 minutes, almost 9 minutes, but we're going to play this one. And this is, rest in peace, the Honorable Neely Fuller. Stay on code. Stay on code, family.
Listen, if you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Now, sometimes people say, well, you mean everything that I understand will confuse me if I don't understand racism? Yes, because racism is the dominant political and religious motivating force among the people of the planet. In all nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. That covers just about everything that any person, minute by minute, might be doing or engaged in any time of day or night, anywhere on the planet. If the question is, do white people now fear the white supremacists, fear genetic annihilation? I don't think so. Not now. That's why I call them white supremacists. See, once you get in a supreme position, you don't fear any annihilation. Except if it looks like you're losing your power, then you have that fear. Now, up to now, they haven't displayed where they fear that they're losing that power. Even though that I believe that they are losing some of it, but gradually. But as of now, they're right on top of the situation. So, they're just trying to maintain what they already have. Now, I base that premise on, if it came right down to it, they would have to make a decision. If they intend to retain this power that they have, which they now have, they have to make a decision as to whether or not they're going to do justice, in which case they do make themselves vulnerable to genetic annihilation. But I would say if the black people are intending to replace white supremacy with justice, then they don't have it. They shouldn't have that fear, but they still might have it. But if they believe that black people will not do the correct thing, in other words, they believe that black people do not believe in justice themselves, then they have another option, and that is to kill all the black people, which they can do. Because nobody's going to stop them, because nobody cares. Not even black people care if they tell the truth. Individual black people care, but generally speaking, black people don't really care what happens to black people. Because black people kill each other every day in large numbers and think that it's fun. That's the truth. Because the white supremacists have programmed us that way. In fact, we think that it's cool, particularly black males. Killing black males is almost a rite of passage. As far back as I can remember, right up until this day, it's been passed on. That is a ingrained a part of black culture. It's more of a part of black culture than anything else. Black people killing and mistreating other black people is a part of black culture. If you want a definition for black culture, that's just about it. So the white supremacists have no problem with that. Because they will be killing us and we'll be killing each other. So if they wanted to annihilate us at all, it would be a piece of cake. It would be a piece of cake. But there's a problem with it. Over the period of time that the white supremacists have been in business, they've become accustomed to it. Now, accustomed to what? To practicing white supremacy. And what is the purpose of white supremacy now? According to logic, from at least my viewpoint, and studies and observations, it's white supremacy. They're not after land. They're not after money. They have all of that. The idea of white supremacy is a value within itself. That's what they're riding on now. Now, if they kill all of the black people, then they are no longer white supremacists.
they will have no longer a reason for existence, because they have made that their reason for existence. All of their movies, all of their folklore, everything that they do, every move that they make, proves that white supremacy is their reason for wanting to breathe, even wanting to get up in the morning. White people become lazy, really, when they are not, they don't have that adrenaline rush of practicing racism in one form or another. That's what keeps them going. That's what makes them get up real early before anybody else gets up. If they don't have that, they have no incentive hardly to do anything. Now, this is based on evidence. Even when they talk about going into outer space, they are looking for people. What people? Well, their folklore tells us, look at Darth Vader. Darth Invader. Back in the 1930s, it was Flash Garden looking for the clay people. Clay people meaning people made out of mud. That was in the 1930s. So it's always this thing, this driving force of racism. That's what keeps them going. That's their adrenaline. That's their cocaine. And if they can't have that, they don't see any point in being here. They have done everything else. All of the inventions. They could feed the whole world if they wanted to. With a snap of a finger. They don't want to do that. They like seeing people suffer. If the people are dark. They like to keep that pot stirred. Like to keep it going. They cannot deny this. In fact, they brag about it. Turn on any television set, that's what they're bragging about. They like to tear up things, build things up to tear them up. They know how to build things better than anybody. But they like death. They like to see things die. Even when they nurse everything back to health, and they know how to do that, they like to kill it all over again. It's a perversion of what the universe is supposed to be about. And that's why we are having this conversation, presumably, that we need a better system. Got a wonderful planet here if we treat it correctly and treat each other correctly. But the white supremacists, as long as we have that doctrine, we won't be able to do anything to
Now, some people have said they've seen some cartoons of my work on the internet that have been presented, and that it pretty well embellishes what I have been trying to say in my textbooks. And to the extent that it does that, well, that has been, from what I understand, some people reported to me a plus, because they didn't understand what I had written very well, but when they saw those cartoons that just repeated what I was saying and attaching my name to it, and came right out of the book, the material did, they say that they better understood it. And I can understand that, because people are kind of visual, particularly in the year 2021 now, more visual than ever.
Ashe, a beautiful picture of Neely Fuller and Dr. Francis Kruss together. That was outstanding. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, it's not happening. Let me see here what I'm going to do. What you going to do, Brother Oshie? Oh, it's almost that time. Yeah. I'm going to take a break. Brothers and sisters, we can come back from the break. I'll open up the phone lines. I still have a few more Neely Fuller venues to play that are not as long. You know, go over his bio too, you know. So, yeah. You know, I tell you, I've been doing this radio program, excuse me. Hold up. Something's on here that's supposed not supposed to be on. So stop that. Yeah. So stop that. excuse me. You know, family, that many of our people have come to us independently. You know, we didn't come because some cracker trained us and told us that now you go out to speak to your people. There are some situations like that. Not so much today, because even those individuals who are doing that, who are speaking on behalf of Urugu, on behalf of the Caucasian, you know, they can't come in our community with that bullshit no more. No, they can't. And they dare not try, really. But still, what the European has put down, what the Uruguay has put down, is still maintained. And it's still to some degree maintained, of course, by us. You know, I'm encouraged. And I know the brothers and sisters of the Pan-African Federalist Movement should be encouraged as well about what's going on the continent. I see where Ghana's about to make its move. You know, I told you what's happening in Burkina Faso. They got an electric car. Maybe they might have a car that runs on gasoline. Cause I know there was a brother from Zimbabwe who did something like that, you know. I remember a Caucasian who had a car that ran on water vapor. I didn't mean to say gasoline, but on water vapor. And they killed him. You know, we can't have that. We got all this oil. And the interesting thing about oil today, there's such a huge surplus of oil, you know. But the reality is in that many of the people of Trump's ilk deny. They're climate deniers. And to me, I don't know. You know, it is there. It is real. When I read about it in the 80s, which is 40 years ago, 40 years ago, and they probably were dealing with it 50 years ago in the 70s, thinking about what's going to happen to this planet if we continue to do what we're doing, if we see these temperatures rising, when we see icebergs falling off into Antarctica, and we see permafrost, you know, being melting. It's real. And the most important thing that we as human beings must do is work with the planet. Work with the planet. So we can sustain each other. But no, these people are not that people, man. They are not that people. So just dealing with the facts. Yeah. This is African Perspectives. We're here, of course, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we're glad that you're here with us, and I hope that you'll stay with us. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from the break, we'll take these phone calls and talk about the life of Brother Neely Fuller and what he presented to us, along with Sister Frances Cress, and anything else you want to talk about. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
That wasn't the right one. I hit it in a chance to that one. Here we go, family.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
That's not working. Oh, Brother Kwaku, I need you, my brother. Okay, I definitely do. I need you, my brother. Brothers and sisters, we'll be right back. You stay with us. Man, come on, family. I'm having problems with the technology. Yep. Here we go, family. We'll be right back.
That's right. Y'all are walking on over to the bridge with me. Cause I'm gonna take you to the water and make you drink.
Honey, baby.
Cause the funk show will make you stay.
Say what?
Yeah. If you let the funk hit your eye, you're gonna turn into a spot.
Don't you try?
Let the funk in your heart, baby. Funk not only kills, it amps you.
Bye-bye.
No, before we do that, I'm going to take you to the bridge and drop you off and do some fun.
Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. George Duke, Reach For It. Yeah, I like that with Bootsy in there, huh? Oh, yeah, baby. Rockstar baby mama, Bootsy Collins. Yeah, we're going to play a few other venues of Brother Neely Fuller and the great work he and Dr. Francis Cress Welsing did on behalf of our people, of helping us to help us understand what we're operating with, what we're operating under, what's affecting us, and why we can't, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on Neely Fuller here, you know. Some a little bit too long for us to play, but a lot of it's good. Yeah, I'll play another Neely Fuller piece here. Well, let me talk about Brother Neely Fuller, who wrote the book on racism. He is the reason racism doesn't confuse nor anger. He wrote the game plan of how to counteract racism, white supremacy in a constructive manner. He taught us how racism affects us in the 9 areas of people activity, which we already gone over. You know, yeah. Countering the racist code, the compensatory code is a term that means when expressed in practice, the sum total of everything that is taught, said, or done by one individual or non-white people. Yeah. So there's a whole litany of stuff in here about what he has done, the books and so forth. Wrong with this one? Yeah, I tell you, family. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Yeah. Well, sorry about that, family. It's not happening. Some may argue, Brother Oshie, you just need to get some better stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's true. That's true, family. I agree. The African Diaspora Channel. Oh, right on. Let me just keep that up. President Trump targets South African migrants, wave foreign flags, and anti. Yeah. Well, you know, when Brother Neely Fuller was talking about racism, white supremacy, and if you don't put Trump's face on that, there's something wrong with you. We have a few people in the queue, and you know what to do. Hit star twice so we can have conversation. Hit star twice, you know. Let me see if this brother wants to say something. Brother Luss, how you doing, my brother? How you doing?
Hey, Bubba Oshie, good morning.
Good morning to you. Good afternoon. What's happening?
Good morning, good afternoon. Dad, as you were talking and as you're trying to get things together at the station there, I could not help but think, once again, and I had gotten a word from Paul, too, as well on yesterday, irreplaceable, just totally irreplaceable. We just acknowledged John Henry Clark.
Mm-hmm, right. Right, last week, yes.
I think back, and I think of William Rogers.
Yes, yeah, our good friend. Yes, thank you, man.
And now Neely Fuller, all these guys are now ancestors and totally irreplaceable. Sometimes, you know, you kind of wonder if there would have been schools of thought, right?
Right.
Or some people that you would be able to work underneath, right? So you can get a direct foothold on to try to understand their sure. philosophies, their logic, et cetera. But, you know, there are others that you just aren't able to do that to. And and so we don't know what's going to happen from this day forward. But I tell you, it's nothing like the original, and it's nothing like having these ancestors now. We know they cannot be around with us all of our lives or their lives, but it's just a matter of embracing the work that they have done.
Right.
Doing the very best that we can to make it part of who we are, right? Because they're leaving these tippets, these little leaves behind, right, of sorts, that we can be able to backtrack to.
Right.
But, you know, times are changing.
Yeah.
And But, again, all of the other ancestors, Drusilla Dungy Houston, right, from days gone by, right? Callie House. Right?
I mean, you could go Callie House for reparations.
And just call out all of the names of all of the ancestors. There's been so many whose shoulders we stand on. And so, well, I pour our libations and honor the ancestors and do the very best I can with what I have.
That's right.
To continue forward, right?
And believe me, by acknowledging that, Brother Ted Love,
that's right.
Like, you acknowledge that's the best in yourself and the best in them. Because you follow in their footsteps. You do.
That's right. And
I say.
And we're only a breath away. We're only a breath away. Mm-hmm. They're only a breath away from us, and all we have to do is call their name. So thank you for picking my call, and thank others who will continue to listen to programming such as this to help educate, inspire, and do better, right?
I say.
From where we are.
That's right.
In this. Thank you so very much.
All right, Ajay.
And I'll continue to listen.
Thank you, my brother. Peace. Yeah, Brother Ted Luss has been a name. You know, he was listening to Dr. Rogers, and then somehow he and I listened to Brother Ted on Dr. Rogers' program and then kind of moved him over to my program, and he's been with us ever since and for years now, and I really thank him. Really thank him. And he's been to Atlanta, so me and Brother Quaker, we got to Well, we stopped through Montgomery on our way back from Mississippi and had dinner with him and his lady, and it was nice. But we're going to return the favor by getting to, you know, Montgomery to visit the things that are happening there. We definitely want to do that. Maybe see if we can get, you know, Brother Irv to fly in and go with us, man. Just make it a trip. That'd be great. Yeah. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Okay. Guest listening. Okay. All right. So I'm not going to deal with the others. So I'm going to just let them hit star twice when you're ready to come in. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Okay. Hit star twice when you're ready to come in. I appreciate that. Thought I seen it go off, and I thought you were ready to come in, but whenever you are. Yeah. Yeah. Neely Fuller. 96 years old. And he was a man that can't play that one a little bit too long, and I haven't heard it, so. But I had some others, and but my, you know, my pad just kind of went south on me. And boy, I appreciate this pad because, you know. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Oh, okay. When you called, I mean, when you said good afternoon before, I was on mute and didn't know it.
Okay.
On my end.
On your end, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So I'm just listening. I had another Zoom call at the same time. So
okay.
I said, you must be crazy. How can you listen to two at the same time?
Okay. Whenever you want to have something to say, if you don't, you of course, you're more than welcome just to listen. I appreciate the call. Okay.
Yeah, I just might let you know there is a farmers' big conference going on with Habisha there in town. Brother, what's his name? Kashan is in town from Ghana and has some real good information about what's going on there.
Oh, beautiful. When is that? Is that taking place at this time?
Well, yesterday they had 2 days in a row they did some things. And it's the 23rd anniversary of Habisha.
Okay.
You missed it because you were there last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they had a real good attendance there at the Art Exchange.
Okay. Is that the Art Exchange? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what's happening in Ghana is with the new president they have. He's progressive. Mm-hmm. He's doing what some of the others are doing. In terms of kicking out the Europeans and having brothers and sisters motivated to do for ourselves, it's great. And he's joining the others in West Africa. Hopefully that'll continue on. Because I know with you, with the Pan-African Federalist Movement, this is just great news.
Yeah, but, you know, I have a concern about Nigeria.
Yeah,
I know. So now... 24 hours, 2 days ago, President Nigeria said all American citizens have to leave. That includes our African Americans.
Wow.
And he said every American citizen had to get out within 24 hours based on what Trump did about not allowing Nigerian students to continue school here.
Mm.
So that presents a problem.
Yeah, well... Sometimes, you know, when action, there's an equal or opposite reaction to that. And so they decide to do that, and then we going to do this. You know, it's just it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know, because, well, I know too that Nigeria has always believed that because it is the most populous country on the continent, that it had the right to go its way as opposed to coming together with many of the other countries. You know, let's hope that doesn't continue. Let's hope that there's a overall consensus of unity from all the countries on the continent, and that the 54 sovereign countries has never been a reality and never will be. But all those countries regionally and collectively coming together, understanding what the Pan-African Federalist Movement is trying to do and put us in that kind of position. And once that position is established, the Federalist Movement dissolves. And now a concerted effort by all these countries coming together to collectively work together to control Africa's land, to control Africa's resources, and to work with the people that they can have a living and a right to self-determination, you know, and sovereignty. So that's my prayer and hope. I know I probably won't live to see this, but I'm feeling good about what's happening, you know, what is taking shape at this present time, and I hope it continues. I love the courage of, you know, Burkina Faso and Mali and Niger. I love the leadership, man. I love what's happening in Ghana. You know, I read about Ghana. I was like, yeah, good, you know. So it's happening. Yep. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
No, thank you, dear. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Baba Ochi. Hey, and how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Brother Paul. Thank you for sending me the information on Neely Fuller and all the other stuff that you sent. I appreciate you very much, man. I really do. Thank you.
Well, Baba Ochi is just it's just part of the duty in this plan for life we have. I was going to say struggle, but I'm refraining from saying words which are just condescending and don't progress us. So I'm just saying that, you know, it's just part and parcel of what we must do. And what are we trying to do? Or what am I trying to do? I'm trying to break one of the holds they have over us. And that's where they try to interrupt our communication, because that's how they've, it's one of the vice grips you talk about, how they have us. We don't, they've made us through the indoctrination, the schooling, fooling systems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We don't communicate that effectively. We don't, in the family, we don't communicate that effectively. We don't communicate that effectively in the community. We don't communicate that effectively with each other. And it's a problem. So that's just my effort to break this communication. And just through trying to lecture people to show how easy it is to be done. And it's and I have to thank you and credit you for reciprocating for that and even acknowledging it. Because I always say to people, acknowledging is in it means to be in the act of knowing.
I say. Yes.
So you and Brother Ten and our sister, our beautiful sister, you know, if we can reciprocate, you know, just sometimes acknowledge. And Baba Ocean, let me just say this while I'm on this trip, right? You know, the scariest thing. I often say, people, I realize I'm fortunate. My mother, my grandmother passed away just the other day, 7th of January, and I told you that, yeah?
Yes.
And once again,
my sincere, deepest condolences to you and your family, brother.
Well, she lived her life, right?
Yeah, she did.
And the beautiful thing, she was 96, the same age as, around the same age as Neely Fuller.
Yes.
So she was born in the same year. And the funny thing is this, Baba Ochi, you know, there's a thing which says, the book's already been written and we have to fulfill it. And I actually accept that. It's true. The book's already been written, but you as the individual have the choice whether you fulfill your purpose. You can not fulfill your purpose. Sometimes we know what to do. We have doubt. We have fear. We have all these emotions come into play and we don't do what we're supposed to do. But the reality of it is the book's already been written. And I know that because I look at this here. My grandmother is the same age as Neely Fuller. And not only that, and she's passed away almost the same time. Her husband, right, my grandfather, he always reminded me, when I saw him, when I went on the internet and looked at him, I said, wow, this man looks just like my grandfather. My grandfather was the same complexion as him.
Is that right? Okay, is Neely Fuller? Right on, okay.
Exactly same complexion, same look. He didn't wear glasses, but he had the same look. And I find that fascinating. Here's this man right across the water, right? He just looks just like my grandfather. And the funny thing, this is a joke, right? Because my children, they say, oh, we're going to go and see granddad. That's their great granddad, but they call him granddad. And my dad is obviously their granddad. So I always used to say to him, which one? And they used to say the white one. So I'd be saying, what are we talking about, white one? He's not white, you know what I mean? But in their mind, because he's so fair.
Right.
And not only that, when they used to say that to me as well, I realized something. It's only when they said it. He's like Neely Fuller, he's a black man. You know he's a black man. But obviously there's white in the family because you can see the lips. My grandfather's got, black people have larger lips and my grandfather's got
thinner
more
lips.
European.
Right. Thinner lips,
But he's a black man. He's a black man, you know?
That's right.
So, and my grandmother and my mom always told me that that's her father. So her grandparents now, her grandmother was extremely fair, almost white looking.
Okay.
Yeah, she remembers that. So we got these people. This is how it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some of us didn't choose that.
Right.
But that's how it is.
That's how it
is.
You know? And
that's just how it is.
I know, like Malcolm used to say, I used to curse the Caucasian blood that ran in my veins, but it is what it is. You know, like me, if you've ever seen me, I'm light like Neely Fuller. I have, you know, real curly hair, so to speak, whatever. All of the much I have left of it. Hey, brother Paul, shit is going quick.
Well, It's the wisdom, man. The wisdom. Wisdom is far and out. Too much wisdom, Bob.
Okay, Paul. But yeah, you know. But to me, I never denied who I am. I never wanted to be but who I am, you know. And that is African, you know. I never denied that. You know, I never wanted to
everybody's should be on a mission to discover themselves. That's the one truth you need to discover. And unfortunately, through the schooling system and the system does not really want you to know yourself. It wants you to know everything. Oh, right. It wants you to know hocus pocus, its ideologies. It wants you to know all these policy, all this nonsense, But what it doesn't want you to realize is who you really are and your true divine power on this planet, because that's where your power comes from. And it wants to control that. So, you know, another thing about Neely Fuller, I actually spoke to him through the Carl Nelson show,
Okay, right.
So, you know, and Francis Quest Wilson, and I don't know nobody on this side of the pond who can say that. You understand? So I'm proud of that. I feel so privileged. And one of the things he gave me, I said, look, I don't really get with this supremacy thing. I don't like it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I spoke to him about it.
Yeah.
And he said, look, he uses the word supremacy because that's what gets him up in the morning. I remember his exact words, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he said, if you find a word which suits you, right, and makes you, empowers you, then you use that.
You go with that.
And I tell you something, right?
Yeah.
I said, this is, you see, the most beautiful thing for me, Baba Ochi, is when I speak to intelligence. That is intelligence personified. You are intelligence personified. And I tell you why. We define intelligence like what they tell us in these Eurocentric ways. You know, if you pass an exam or you've got a certain IQ and all that. That's not intelligence, really. Really isn't. Because it's pointless having that and you can't communicate. It doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You've got all this, but you can't translate what you've got. It must involve communication, articulation. It must involve critical thinking and analysis, and it must involve discipline of your ego.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them things a lot of those things we lack. That's not intelligence. So I said to the man, "Wow, he's wrote a book on this, and he's willing to accept and say that." And I said, "Wow." So when I thought about it, I said, "Look at these people. They're crazy and psychopathic. They are extreme because what they do, they're not that." They're not this supreme because they go everywhere, murder, pillage, rape, kill. That's not intelligent.
Yeah.
You see, when we look at our history, that's not what we did. We went to lift people up, to africate people, not educate people, africate people. We were the Africans. We gave them spirituality. We showed them how to nurture the earth, how to live with the animals. That's what we did. But they put us in these conditions. So now we feel that we have to stab each other in the back. We have to hoodwink each other, bamboozle each other, trick each other, talk behind each other's back. All the nonsense things which we do, and we do them.
Yes,
because we think that's the program. And we've been indoctrinated by these devils. But look, cut a long story short. For me personally, the only responsibility, and when I talk about responsibility, it's giving us the ability to respond. We must have the ability to respond. Meaning that unless we look in the mirror and take responsibility for ourselves, we will not fully gain that ability to respond. And what are we responding to? We're responding to the attacks 24/7, 365 our adversaries.
That's
what we need to respond to. Then that's why I say, personally, the individual, have to take responsibility. Last thing, blame. Yes, blame gives us a sense of, okay, it's not me, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't give us the solution. Because blame, if you take away the word B from blame, it's lame. Give you that.
That's lame.
It doesn't give you that strength. And this is not our language. In this language, it's full of trickery.
That's right.
Focus.
Yes.
And spelling. That's what they say. You construct the words together and make it into a sentence, They call it spelling. You think that's a coincidence?
Put a spell on you.
You think that? Oh, that just come about? No, that is that. This is a scientific project they use against us. That's why they forced us to speak this trickery language, so we cast spells on ourselves. Right. We use words which we don't fully understand, and we keep ourselves locked down. Baba Oti, look, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak.
Let me say this
thank
to you.
Thank you to all those who commit to this, to our empowerment.
I said,
thank you so much.
Well, you know, Paul, I tell you this, man. You know, some years ago when we had a conversation, you said, they're not supreme. What they are is extreme. And so, as I say all the time now, they're European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. Some call it white supremacy, but that's what it is. European, Caucasian, because they're not white, you know? They're not white, and they sure in the hell ain't supreme. But they are very extreme in terms of how they operate against those who are outside of themselves and how they have dealt with people who they encountered. You know, not in a humane fashion, but in the idea of tricking them or killing them or eliminating them and taking what they had and calling their own, you know, and at the same time lying to the world about who they are, you know. So I appreciate it, man. I really do, Paul.
Baba Ochi, you just reminded me of something I wanted to say to you, yeah? Mm-hmm. Last week you said about Donald Hitler, Mussolini, Trump, the dump, that orange-faced devil. You said, right, that he is the personification of what Neely Fuller refers to as white supremacy, which we're calling white extremism, yeah?
Right.
Now, if anybody wants to argue if this man isn't personifying who they really are, right, just look what he's doing. He is a total and absolute psychopath.
He is.
Right?
He is.
If he's not an extremist, right?
Yeah.
You damn tell me what is. He's just the personification what's in their psyche. That's all he is.
You're right.
That's what he is.
And that's how you need to understand him and look at his ugly ass, flat, funky, fat ass. That's who he is. You know, talking about taking over this and taking that and renaming this and renaming that. The stuff that people all recognize was when it was done, it was white supremacy. It was European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege that made people name this and do this and do that. And it has been done. They agreed to say, hey, you know what? We shouldn't have done that. Then we're going to give the indigenous people, the Inuit, the people, the name of the mountain, the tallest mountain on North American continent, Mount Denali. As opposed to McKinley. What the hell McKinley do? He didn't do shit. Okay, he was just president at the time, you know? And so what does Trump want to do? He wants to rename it again. He wants to go back to that name. Because why? White supremacy.
And the other one, he's no better. The other one who's walking around out of his mind, Biden, he no better. Ever.
No.
So when we say, oh, which one? They're all the damn same.
They're the
it's
same.
Just that one it just can't hold it back.
Yeah.
They're all the damn same. That's how they think. And unfortunately, Baba Olbuchi, very unfortunately, they've got a lot of us thinking the same way.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks a lot, Brother Paul. Hang on, man. Let me get a few other callers. All right. Brother Irv, how you doing, man?
Baba Olbuchi, how are you?
I'm well. I'm doing well, man.
Thank you for bringing me out. First, let me say condolences to Brother Paul's grandmother, who is an ancestor now. I can't say I feel what he feels, but I did lose my dad a few years ago. He was 93, and I understand. I may understand a little bit of what he's going to do. Baba Oshie, sister came on a little earlier. Sister said Nigeria is having some issues kicking out all the Americans, black, white, red, green, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I say the same thing that brother. The great John Henry Clark said,
mm-hmm.
he said, let Africa solve Africa's problems.
I say.
In other words, don't bring the Caucasian in there to mediate anything. That's how Africa got in the situation they're in now. In other words, when the Caucasian needed something to eat, you should have brought it out to the boat. You shouldn't have let him come in.
That's right. You should never let him set foot on the soil.
Come on, don't let him. He got to use the drive-through. He can't come into the dining room. He did that in America. And look what happened to the Native Americans.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
They showed a picture, sitting at the table, eating, everybody's friends, and after they got finished eating, the white folks killed every last one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And their children. So, no, let Africa solve Africa's problems. Africa, with the three kings from Nigeria, Mali, and Burkina Faso, working it out,
yeah,
building an electric car.
Yeah.
But let's be perfectly clear about what's going on in this country, Baba Oshie. Because we don't have a nationalist consciousness. In other words, we still trying to be with these white folks. And how do you know we still trying to be there?
Yeah.
Because we haven't changed our language. We still buying their hair. We don't want to be separate. They said separate but equal.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I liked the separate part.
Yeah.
We're never going to be equal in somebody else's house. You can't come in here and tell me what color blinds to put in my house, Oshie.
Right.
This ain't your house.
Mm-hmm.
You can come here and say it if you want. You're just blowing out your ball. I give a damn what you say. But let's see who was the man of the year in 1936 on Time magazine's cover. Who was that, Baba Oshie?
Mm-hmm.
Hitler.
Hitler. It was Adolf Hitler.
Who was the man of the year again on Time magazine last year?
Trump. Trump.
Come on. And what they don't want, and what the white folks don't want you to live in the moment. They don't want you to live in history. Oh, and I actually heard a lot of people say a lot of things that I don't agree with. We don't need history. We need the right now. We got to live in the now. We don't need to be going back then. But let me tell you something. History is current events because there's nothing new under the sun.
That's right.
Everything you're thinking, everything you're doing has been done before. White people aren't smart. They're demonic. There's a difference between smart and demonic. You can always find energy to do something wrong. When I was young, my mother gave me a dollar to put in the plate.
Church plate.
It better be a paper dollar, because if it's four quarters, I'm keeping two of them. God knows what's up. I got to get some
God
dollars.
Knows what's up. I hear you, Herb.
I'm just saying, brother. But the thing is, Father Ocean, it all comes back down to what we're doing right now. On this internet station,
right,
that 93 million people can hear at any time on the internet, is communication.
Right on.
We have to keep the fire burning, but we have to keep the communication flowing. We have to keep talking. The one thing they don't want you to do is talk. That's why all the media is owned by white folks. Mm. You know, that's why, because media is talking. Talking changes thought. Thought changes action. Action changes the world. And I'm not preaching it. I don't know everything. But what I do know is if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, most of the time, it's white folks.
Okay? They have been ducks.
I'm going to put a pin in it.
All right.
Right there.
All right,
put
brother.
Put me on mute. I'm listening.
All right,
love
brother.
You, man.
Love you too, dear
Peace.
Brother. So, Haiba.
Yeah, greetings.
Greetings. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm joining the program. And I too wanted to send my condolences to Brother Paul.
Brother Neely Fuller? Yes. Well, Brother Paul on the
condolences
yeah.
for Brother Paul.
Paul.
To
yes.
Brother Paul for losing his grandmother.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. I know that's
yeah.
Just want to send all my condolences.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Ashe.
We do.
You know, there's mm-hmm. some very significant loss. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I say, and I wanted to tell you that you were saying you don't believe in your lifetime that you're gonna see all the liberation. But I want the liberation of our African people. I want to say I believe you're gonna see it in your lifetime.
Well, I hope I
just
do,
wanted
dear.
To tell you that.
I hope that.
And we're seeing it. Look how Africa's rising up.
Yeah.
Look at all our strong African brothers coming to there, kicking out all the imperialists and the colonist races, and coming together. Joining, so I believe you're going to see it.
You know, Sister Ibea, I love when you always come on to be positive. You always want to be encouraging. I know that. I'm serious, and I appreciate you. I love you for that fact. Thank you.
You know, and because in Ibrahim, they are just being so Pan-Africanist that they had told Trump was talking, you know, just. Disparaging the African people, and he was standing up for the African people, and essentially was telling Trump to leave the Africans in America alone, and invited us, said that they are all welcome. we are all welcome to come over to the continent.
Yes.
I thought that was so beautiful. And then the South Africans is rising up because Trump wanted to, he wanted the South Africans to give the land back to the white Africans. To the white, you know, to the white imperialist colonists that stole it before. And the African people said no. We're standing up.
Not only that, they should have kicked their ass out. And them crackers can either go back to Europe, parts of Europe, you know, like the Boers and Dutch, Netherlands or England, or even better yet, you want a better yet? Take your ass to the United States and let us leave.
There you go.
You know,
one of the things that orangutan monster up there, Trump. He's really diabolical, and the concern. He made his pronouncement yesterday that all the Palestinians he wants to evacuate them, and then he wants to take over power. And be the power and the owners of Palestine.
And so
it's really problematic. And then he said he's going to send troops. And so my concern, I said, you know who they want to be in the troops on the front line? Getting killed be our children, our youth, our beautiful young black men and women. That's what he wants to send over there. And so, you know, that's not acceptable. I mean, so we got to come together about that and have our children not going fighting they battles and war.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, stand up for that. I'm just saying. But he's trying to get us into like a World War III. He is diabolic and just.
He's an evil man. He's evil.
Right. Yeah. And just coming out with it. So we'll stand together. People, you know, we're going to stand for that. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. All right, my sister. Appreciate you.
Okay.
All right.
Be for Bahodier.
Be for Bahodier. Our victorious destiny. And we will be victorious, sister.
We will win.
That's right.
You're going to see it in this lifetime.
Yeah. All right, sister.
Ashe.
Peace. Yeah. Yeah, Brother Irv, you got something?
Real quick, Baba Oshi.
I saw
on the news this morning. Baba Oshi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes, I saw the news this morning. I meant to say that ICE has sent back some Haitians. A bunch of Haitians were working, and they went into their workplace and sent them back to Haiti. And it's amazing how you can get the Haitians out super fast, but all the rest, they've sent some Indians back also. But the Haitians are quick to go back, quick, fast, and a hurry. And Baba Oshi, never say that you have not seen our liberation, our self-determination, because you have seen it. You've taken the chains off of your brain, because the chains aren't in our hands. I can go out here and smack shit out white folks right now. I'm sorry for cussing. But the reality is the chain on my brain has to be removed.
I say, good
on. And that has been removed just by the mere fact that this radio station exists, that African perspective exists. That shows you that we are further along than we were, even though we speak our oppression every time we speak in English. We're speaking our oppression every time the sister puts on that hair of another ethnicity's culture of texture. We're speaking. We're understanding that we carry this around with us because to remind us of where we are when we look at our clothing, and that's all it is, brother. But this sister that just spoke, she's right on point, and I love her uplifting message, Baba Oshi.
All the time,
she's never a doomsday, you know. Let people show can't do nothing because we should be happy for what we got, boss.
Yep.
But the thing is, she always uplifts. She always brings a positive message, and that makes me positive, even though we're in the belly of the beast, even though we're walking through the fire. We're going to keep the fire burning.
I say.
Oh, you get somebody else. I just wanted to say that. Thank you, brother. I say.
All right. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You can get in part of this conversation today. We're paying homage and giving some love and a memorial to Brother Neely Fuller for the work that he and Sister Frances Cress-Welsing, Dr. Frances Cress-Welsing, did to bring the issue of racism, white supremacy, as I like to say, European Caucasian
extremism. I tell you, Brother Paul, I love that, man. I appreciate that from you, man. Caucasians, European Caucasians, extremism, racism, and privilege. Yeah, white supremacy. And I tell you, it's ugly. And when you see this dude in the office now, is a prime example of that mindset of what he's about and what he's doing. It's, man, it's disgusting. It really is, but it's happening. And we, the thing is, how do we deal with it? How do we deal with it, family? That's the question. In fact, there's nothing we can, don't try to change them. Don't try to inform. No, it's how we react to it. It's what we as Africans need to do. Yeah. Yeah. So I appreciate it. I appreciate these opportunities to talk with you. We only have a few minutes left. You know, I wanted to play another piece. Let me see if I can find another small piece of Neely Fuller. I'm quite sure I can. Yeah. You know, because there's a lot of wisdom in what Neely Fuller was bringing to the table. You know, a lot of wisdom. And so let me do it this way. Okay, I got you, family. I'm bringing it. Okay. Let's see what we got here. He, like I said, he has these all these animated pieces that he. In fact, he mentions them. You know. Here's a good piece. Let's try to play this one. The strongest religion. The strongest religion. So let me get myself together. Yeah? Right here? Yeah, sometimes nothing like the words of the people who we want to honor, to hear them speak, you know? Nothing like their words. And this is, once again, Brother Neely Fuller.
Listen.
If you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Now, sometimes people say, well, you mean everything that I understand will confuse me if I don't understand racism? Yes, because racism is the dominant political and religious motivating force among the people of the planet in all nine areas of activity. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. That covers just about everything that any person, minute by minute, might be doing or engaged in any time of day or night, anywhere on the planet.
Well, I simply say that white supremacy is the most powerful of all the religions when it comes to non-white people. Non-white people try to practice a number of religions, Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, Confucianism, Black Mormons, I guess somewhere maybe, Black Amish people, or non-white, Amish people. There might be some groups of people who are like that. But the white supremacists have the strongest and most powerful religion, and they go around and examine all of the dark people of the world,
okay,
to see what religions they are practicing or what religions they say that they are trying to practice, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, plus all of the hundreds of tribal religions, some of them, names I can't even recognize,
right,
and whatnot. but they say that these are their religions.
Okay.
And so the white supremacists will examine everybody's religion who is a person of color.
Okay.
And they will see if there's anything in that religion that's a danger to the religion of white supremacy. And they will say, oh, you're going to have to take that out of your religion. And so far, it has been proven, and you can check and see, that the non-white people always take that part out of their religion.
Okay.
And the white supremacists tell them, so that's what you better do.
So then the answer...
I don't agree with that part of your religion, because that's bad for my business.
Okay.
I'm simply saying, in simple terms, the white supremacists, if you're black, will come and look at whatever your religion is. And they will say, okay, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. You can do everything except this, 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 this,
okay.
and this.
Okay.
And then if I'm practicing what I call my own religion, I'll say, well, wait a minute, but you're messing up my religion. I mean, you just can't come and do that. And they will say, oh, I can't? Well, you violate what I just said. You, in practicing your religion, says thou shalt do this and thou shalt do that and all like that. In any of the areas of activity, economics, education, sex, or whatnot, you got these religious things that you say that you practice that is involved in sex, and you are a person of color, you're a black person, and you say your religion tells you not to do this when it comes to sex. I'm telling you to do this when it comes to sex.
Okay.
Or you're going to be in trouble with me.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
You know, I don't care about you or your God. You don't get in trouble with me, boy.
Woo.
Or girl.
Okay.
I mean, so you take this out of your religion. If I catch you trying to practice this part of your religion, I'm going to come down on you with both feet.
All right.
And everything else, and you know it.
Okay.
And so the average black person, it has been proven, the average person of color says, what? Yowza.
Yowza.
We don't say it in those words. We don't verbalize
right.
it and all, but we very quietly don't do that anymore. Why? Because the master of the supreme religion on this planet among the people said so. Now, some people have said they've seen some cartoons of my work on the internet that have been presented, and that it pretty well embellishes what I have been trying to say in my textbooks. And to the extent that it does that, well, that has been, from what I understand, some people reported to me a plus, because they didn't understand what I had written very well, but when they saw those cartoons that just repeated what I was saying and attaching my name to it, and came right out of the book, the material did, they say that they better understood it. And I can understand that, because people are kind of visual, particularly in the year 2021 now, more visual than ever.
Our brother Neely Fuller, you know, many of us try to articulate our situation, you know, and let me play this one. This is interesting. Brother Neely Fuller, let's hear this.
Oh, respectful. Well, let's deal with that. Well, according to what I have written myself, it's impossible for anybody to give me respect. That can't be done anyway. Respect.
Okay.
And there's another word that goes before the word respect, according to the code. And that word is, it's a four-letter word, S-E-L-L.
Okay.
Self-respect. Now,
yes,
self-respect is what I give to myself. That's the only type of respect that's worthy of the term respect. Whenever you say respect, you're talking about self-respect. So self-respect comes from yourself. Now, what is the definition, the compensatory definition for self-respect? All right, according to the code, and it's in the code book, self-respect is, or respect itself is, just one thing, refusing to lie to yourself. Don't tell yourself lies. You're throwing respect out the window. There's no respect involved nowhere when you go around telling yourself things that are not true, that you know are not true. Now you have lost self-respect. And you don't ever, another thing about respect, use of the word respect. Words are very important. You never ask anyone to respect you. There's three things you don't ask for. You never ask for respect. You never ask for an apology. And you never ask for love. Ever.
Okay.
From anybody. Ever. Don't let those words ever come out of your mouth that you ask somebody to respect you. Respect comes from yourself. It doesn't come from somebody else. Other people can be discourteous and all like that. That's on them. That has nothing to do with you. You don't care what they say. Let them shout, curse, throw things at the wall, whatnot. I mean, that's their business. And that's a part of what you call compensatory conversation control. Okay? Yes. See, if you beg somebody for respect, please respect me. Please apologize to me. Please love me. These things.
Ain't no black.
One thing. Respect only comes from yourself. And apologies and love is something that people give voluntarily. Those other two things. Apologies and love. You never ask anybody for an apology. Why? According to logic. Because it doesn't mean anything if you have to ask for it.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, it's when people come to you and say, I apologize for what I said to you the other day. That's when it has value.
Okay.
When you have to beat a person over the head and say, apologize to me. Or I'm going to inflict injury on you. I'm going to say terrible things about you. Or I'm going to do something to you. You better apologize. But first say, okay. I apologize. I apologize for slavery, all right? I apologize for all the things I'm going to do to you next week or this evening. Sir. And in fact, I will load you up with apologize, with apologies. I mean, and you'll have them in advance. How many do you need? Now, some people have said they've seen some cartoons of my work on the internet that have been presented, and that it pretty well embellishes what I have been trying to say in my textbooks.
Brother and sister, we have the last words of Brother Neely Fuller. You can go to YouTube and get those animated shorts. And there's some ones that are kind of long, well over an hour and a half or so. If you can carry off into them, some of the conversations he's had on Carl Nelson's show. In fact, that's where Brother Brother Paul talked with Brother Neely Fuller on the Carl Nelson show. So, brothers and sisters, I appreciate y'all. Love y'all. But we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shimhotep, that means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Be back with us on Friday, family. Peace.